coming. Pass is picked off.
He's going to go looking again, and it's picked off by Stephon Gilmore down on the right sideline.
Into the end zone, and he's picked off. Back the other way.
Let's go, baby.
So should we start with one of the currently undefeated teams?
Yeah.
The New York Giants are 3-0.
No, they're not. Yeah. Well, they're not, are they? They lost.
Oh, they
the
lost.
Dallas
yeah,
Cowboys.
Sorry.
Because I sent
mess around all his.
I sent Andre a message. Andre of Verge magazine. Any views expressed in this podcast do not represent his company, his magazine, or his own views, especially on this bit. I sent him a message saying, doesn't it feel great to wake up and be 3-0? And then I sent him the headline from NFL.com, what we learned from the Cowboys' victory over the New York Giants. And he said, I haven't even watched the game yet, you motherfucker.
Oh,
yeah, I crushed his day real early with that one, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Dre.
You got to do it. You're an Eagles fan.
Well, I had to wake up to Richard Graves's Keith of him with the sun coming up behind him, and he raises his head and he's got a Cowboys hat up, and it's just a horrible smile, and it says like Cowboys
he's made
win.
His own gift,
yeah, and he sends it to me every single week that the Cowboys win.
Man that doesn't like scotch eggs and makes his own gifts, there's some interesting life choices happening there.
He is not a good man at all.
Well, Richard, if it's towards the Cowboys, it says a lot.
Richard Graves. it doesn't matter when the Eagles are flying high and
if you want to have a look at the GIF, I'll put it up online somewhere.
I've sent
it to you boys, and it's just horrendous. I hate it so much. Imagine waking up to that.
Oh, it looks maniacal. Those eyes look horrible. Like killer's eyes.
But if you want to, hear what Richard Graves has to say about the Cowboys, go back to last week's episode because he was a great guest on the podcast.
You know, I said I got Russell Wilson vibes from sending you those little videos earlier when I was setting up. That's got a little bit of Jeffrey Dahmer vibes,
yeah.
Yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer, Russell Wilson, John Wilson.
Yeah.
Broncos country? That's right.
Oh
my God, have you seen his... I didn't send it to you guys yet. Russell Wilson advertising sandwiches?
I've seen it on Twitter.
He retweeted it.
I didn't put the sound on because I realized I didn't really care about what was happening. I was very shocked to see him doing anything like that in the first place, so I didn't need the rest of it.
Hey, it's fucking weird, Jazz. I'll give it. It's fucking weird.
Well, he's gonna need to be able to sell sandwiches when he's wearing just a blackboard with sandwiches this way because he's playing so badly with Denver right now. And his next job's just going to be selling sandwiches or selling hats in Times Square, as Dave Chappelle has lobbied at people before on his show. He's looking terrible, Russell Wilson, right now.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, I think that $200 million contract looks a little bit premature.
No, because when he's not good enough, Sierra's going to divorce him, take most of that, and he'll be left with nothing except for a please take me back, Seattle, and a sandwich job, yeah.
Tell you what, for that hot division that we were talking about in the off-season, two of those teams look pretty weak.
Well, and how about the Chiefs losing to the Colts?
Well, we were talking about that just before, how that game made no sense because the Chiefs were just moving the ball nicely. And we were saying how bizarre it was. And it got so bizarre that Kelsey's just dropping balls in the end zone, which you see like once in a lifetime. So yeah, I don't know how they lost that game. I was like quite happy for the Colts because they've had an awful start to the year. I was really happy for Matt Ryan, but they did not deserve to win that game.
No, so I was saying to Dave as well that really the big turning point in that game was early on when the Chiefs muffed the punt and then gave the Colts the possession of their own 5-yard line, scored a touchdown, created a lead, probably put some faith and some belief into the Colts. And then you look at the special teams again with the missed field goal, missed extra points. That's 4 points they missed out on, which would make it 21-20. And then before the end of the first half, when Mahomes was getting upset with Eric Bieniemy on the sideline, saying we should have been going for it and trying to be more aggressive. Well, actually, that's exactly what they should have been doing because they'd done that. halftime team talk might be slightly different. The margin of
also that just feels more Chiefsy. They've never been a play
let's
conservative
just,
sort of team.
I know.
But
you got Patrick
Mahomes. Do you think
why he would do that?
It's more conservative because they don't have the offensive weapons like they've had. I mean,
because MVS is not exactly a Tyreek Hill, is he?
No, Juju's actually been pretty disappointing so far as
well. Had a good catch and run on the weekend.
He's been okay. I expected a bit more.
This is kind of what I expected from Juju Smith-Schuster going to the Chiefs. It's like he's a competent receiver. Like he's a good, solid receiver.
He's a great
receiver.
Number two.
He's not. Yeah, it's like a Calvin Ridley.
He's not a good number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. When you've got someone else on the side to take away a double team like you had with Antonio Brown, Juju ate and made all the yards in the world because he's good enough to do that.
Or
when
you balance him with a Claypool because you kind of have to watch both of them. Like if you've got a decent quarterback. I think Juju doesn't get double covered consistently, which means that he can still have good games and stuff like that. Now you've got Juju being the number one guy and Claypool doesn't get anything at the moment in Pittsburgh for obvious reasons. Mitch Trubisky. But for the Chiefs.
Clyde Edwards-Hilaire's kind of stepped up. He looks a lot better.
He's played better this year so far. But he has to. He has to because they've got rid of their best weapons.
Hardman looks fine. The Chiefs are good. I mean, they're better than you guys thought they would be. So
currently.
But that's also because the Raiders and the Broncos are way worse.
So we've touched on the three
way
teams
worse,
there. I was saying to Jazz, talking about players and teams that have surprised you so far. So in the bad column, who surprised you the most? The Broncos, the Raiders, or the Colts?
The Colts, I'm less surprised at the more I think about it. Just because they don't have a passing offense with enough quality in the receiver position. And they don't protect Matt Ryan from the looks of it. So that's
he's getting murdered out there.
He's gone from an Atlanta team where he gets murdered to a Colts team where he gets murdered. It's very unfortunate for an
which
old
is shocking
man
because
that isn't
mobile. The O-line was pretty good a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Even with last year, when Rivers was there. Rivers was there last year?
No, it was...
No, not
last year. Wentz was there last year. Yeah. So 2 years ago, Rivers was there. That's a good O-line.
Yeah.
Yep. They missed Matt Ryan by 2 years or a year at least, basically.
Yeah. And now the Falcons are actually... We'll get on to talking about the Falcons a little bit, but...
Fun to watch.
They're actually protecting Mariota pretty good.
Is that also because Mariota's got that extra bit of mobility, so he's able to evade a rush slightly better than a Matt Ryan would?
And also the Ends might be playing more contain rather than just ears back.
Let's get there.
You haven't got a set spot to get to. We've got Matt Ryan. You know, he's going to drop back 3, 5, or 7. He's not going to move more than he might move 2 or 3 feet either side.
He's
going to
stay in the
pocket. You know where you're going. You know where your target is.
That's why Rodgers and Mahomes are so valuable because they've got the elite arm and ability to read coverage while also having just enough mobility to make them a threat to pick up extra yards when they're running.
And Josh Allen.
It is another year as
Josh
well
Allen's
with the Falcons.
Back, so don't worry about that. Guess who?
Ollie was
back.
So. I mean, watched the games on Saturday. Ollie was so happy to see Josh Allen fail.
I wasn't actually happy at
all.
Oh,
that's so weird.
There was no. This is complete balderdash from
balderdash.
Yeah, absolute.
What are we in 1948?
It is
or in Blackadder.
It's complete balderdash what you're saying there because it's just not true. But I mean, it wasn't his best game. For sure. It was Josh Allen game, which when everyone's kind of saying, oh, he's the quarterback now and all that kind of stuff, like, wasn't able to produce and get the offense going. And I think that's also a sign of Buffalo. That running game isn't quite still enough to be able to dig a passing game out of holes every so often. I mean, I was surprised by that. Sorry, you asked a question, Dave, though, about...
Yeah, I was just talking about teams that have surprised you the most.
The Raiders, because they don't even get Adams the ball enough.
I know. Yeah. Why are they not targeting him more? It doesn't really matter if he's good enough. Like, he was in double coverage when he was at Green Bay. Like, just throw him the ball a bit more. Does it just show how conservative Derek Carr is that he doesn't like it if players aren't open? Like, just throw it to him. I know that sounds really overly simplistic, but he's that good that there are plays where you can just be like, it's going to him. Like, it doesn't matter what the defense does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there is that. I mean,
Joe summed up the problems with Carr and the Raiders last week perfectly. Just Carr's not that guy. They have a real problem with Derek Carr at the moment, and he becomes like besties with a receiver for a little bit, and then they fall out and they don't get the ball. and he's not a great leader in that team either. So it may actually be the fact that Carr just isn't a good enough quarterback to be able to take them over the next level.
Oh, I can't believe they're 0-3 though. I wouldn't have. They deserve to lose all of them as well.
I thought week one that pass rush looked really good, and I've not seen it again since.
Crosby still looked good. Chandler Jones hasn't been as effective.
Yeah. No, he's shocking. Kind of missing really.
But Crosby's still menacing everywhere. I think when we're saying about on better or worse about Max Crosby not having that many sacks, I think it's because when the quarterbacks are seeing him coming, they're just throwing it away. So he might not get as many sacks, but he's definitely getting pressure along the way. So it's one of those ones where it may not show up in the stat line from that point of view, but it might show up in other different stats instead as the season goes on, because he's always there or thereabouts.
Do you think we're being denied, this is a tangent, we're already bouncing around the houses quite a bit. Do you think we're being denied one of the best races to a leading sack title this season in the NFL because TJ Watt's out, because him and Micah Parsons looks absolutely incredible. I know he didn't get a sack on Monday night against the Giants.
He's like a heat-seeking missile.
He's just creating so many opportunities for other people as well. Without a doubt, looks already like a nailed-on MVP with Watt out.
Yeah.
Like, without any possibility of anybody else getting anywhere close to him. I haven't seen anybody perform at that level over the first 3 weeks of the season at all. If he maintains it, it'll be incredible. And Dallas are going to stay in a playoff fight and potentially can they win a division fight based off the back of his play alone, arguably, I think.
Well, he's gonna give so many opportunities to the secondary and to Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs, yeah.
Well, like, and then Diggs, shorten fields for that offense if that happens.
There was a crazy stat about Diggs giving up the most yards of any cornerback in the league, like 250 or something insane. But again, he gets a crucial interception at the right time. And I think he's always probably going to be that player. He's never going to be like an amazing cover corner, but he's so good at reading the ball and he's so quick and his hands are amazing.
That's what you get when you take a receiver and make him a DB in college. He's all his life he's been looking at the ball, catching the ball and honing the ability to catch the ball and track the ball properly. And you put him into coverage, sometimes he's just going to gamble and think, well, this is the route you're going to run. He'll know and he'll understand more about the route tree because he's had to learn it as much as he had to do. So he may have the ability to try and, I can see him doing this little shake there. He's going to go there. And that's why he ball hawks so much. However, like you said, that does leave you getting burnt. So if you have a better team that knows you're going to be more aggressive at the point of the ball, you'll get double moves and all kinds of cutbacks and things that will start to really interfere with your ability to jump on the ball. So a good team and a good receiver and quarterback, in my eyes, should really be able to exploit the hell out of Diggs and really show him up as being someone who can't cover well enough.
But against the poorer teams.
Yeah, against Daniel Jones.
Against Daniel Jones, he's going to be able to pick a game. Yeah.
How strange would it seem Sterling Shepard rupture his ACL, by the way, just running along?
Man. That's sad. That's really sad.
Yeah, so do I.
Especially
really
as
sad
he's
to
back,
see that.
Like just come back for the season. It's like, okay, kind of good for the Giants, I suppose, even if they're in the East. They're kind of irrelevant to me at this point because they're not a relevant team in the East. But yeah, never had a problem with Sterling Shepard. Like, it seems like a fine receiver.
Rosenthal around the NFL podcast was saying that they've got the most expensive
tickets
wide receiver
in London. Oh, sorry,
because Kenny Golladay.
£60 a ticket. Yeah, they've got Kenny Golladay, who looks like he's not even there, and then Shepard, who's just gone down, and who else? They got somebody
Tony,
else on a big contract.
The absolute. He's still on his rookie deal, isn't he?
Kadarius Tony.
Yeah, Kadarius Tony.
They must have someone
else.
He's
such a good-looking body, but not producing at all right now.
But for them to have the most expensive wide receiver room in the NFL is nuts. Like, little nugget.
Yeah, when you look at...
Well, like, Golladay's really the problem there.
Yeah.
I did love the stat on Twitter I saw with, if you sat on the couch and watched the game, the Giants-Cowboys, you got paid $0 for no catches and no yards. Kenny Golladay got no catches and no yards and got paid $700,000 for it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so positive-wise, which teams are you most surprised about? The Dolphins, the Jags?
The Eagles.
Well, not the Jags, because you were low on the Jags.
Eagles at all,
I'm
though.
Massively surprised about Jalen Hurts the last 2 weeks.
I've got to say, so am I. some of those balls he's been throwing have been
the last 2 weeks
in the
have been very impressive.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Been a huge increase on what we saw week one.
Smith last week was,
you know,
absolutely dominant.
20 minutes before games kicked off, he was on my bench in the fantasy league I have with Dre and some of the other people from Verge, and I put him in because I was like, I just got a feeling he's gonna, you know, when you have, like, I just got a feeling he's gonna have one of those games. Oh yeah, he had enough. Don't worry.
30 or something.
It was nice watching that. He had some awesome grabs. That's the nice thing about the Eagles. We are going to have
him
to talk
Brown,
about them.
Goddard. Oh, that's without you being like one
Brown.
Of the best
Brown's
Russian
the physicality. Attack. You can force it in, and he can muscle onto the ball. Smith is creating the separation and the athletic play. Goddard's a nice guy over the top as a safety route. Quez Watkins has played well as well already in the early part of the year.
Yeah.
And then Miles Sanders and Hurts is throwing nicely, as I say. It's and I'm annoyed people are anointing them. Dre, as a Giants fan, was going, oh, Eagles look so good today. And it was irritating the hell out of me because I was like,
yeah, you can't go under the radar
mouth.
Anymore.
You don't win it in week three. You don't win it in week three. So, yeah.
Well, no, very true.
We'll see. But our prediction of you maybe winning the first, like, six or so games.
Jags are
going to
be tough.
Crazy.
Jags are.
That's
I'm
an
not
interesting matchup.
I'm not surprised about the Jags.
I am.
Because I.
But
we know you are because you hate them and you think they're terrible.
When we did our division predictions, I did go with the Jags in the end for that division. And that suddenly looks okay.
Nice,
it's a nice running back combo. Kirk is having a great season so far. Touchdown every week.
Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence has looked pretty good. It makes you realize
Trevor
how
Lawrence
much
has got better than week one. Week one looked rough.
He hasn't had to do a load though. Like they're. Defense is just stepping up like massively. If you look at the
stats, they came from behind
defense.
As well though against Washington in fairness, which was pretty nice on that offense to rally back.
Well, I know, but they're just not allowing a lot of points at all, and you just don't.
Yeah.
The way they shut down Taylor in that Colts game,
Well, that wasn't surprising. We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
we all knew the Jags were going to be.
Yeah, but they did everything else, though. That's the thing. They did everything else. They
but you got
just
nothing else
down
to shut
people.
Down
no,
with
I
the
know.
Colts. You got nothing else to shut down with the Colts. Like,
but for them to score 0 points,
yeah,
like,
that's brutal. Yeah,
yeah. I am. I'm very impressed with the Jags. I'm very impressed.
Doug,
it will be interesting
Doug Peterson
to see,
seems like the perfect guy to have gone in and just settled.
Yes,
because he is quite an inoffensive coach. Like same after coming in after Chip Kelly, you're just like. Yeah, Doug's just going to step in. He's not a, like, rowdy, rah, rah, rah kind of guy. He's just a, hey, let's just go back to playing football, guys.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
They've only allowed 2 sacks so far in 3 games on Lawrence.
Yeah, that's...
Just tied 31st. So you protect him. That guy's got an army. Do what he wants.
Yeah. So, and even Marvin Jones has been playing well, too.
Very cool.
So they've had a big step up from their skill positions. And James Robinson, I don't know why Urban Meyer ever benched him last year.
Yeah, ludicrous. Such a good.
It just proves how much of a dumbass that man is.
Yeah, it was probably a personality thing. That guy was just a lunatic.
Well, because he fumbled it once. No, you can't play again. What do you mean? I fumbled it once. Yeah, you can't play again. Oh, okay. Trevor Lawrence. Hey, coach, can we get him back in? Because we need him. No. But why? Because he fumbled once. Okay.
Because I'm the coach.
Urban Meyer's the classic guy that cannot control grown men as opposed to college athletes who need their coach, grown men in the NFL that are getting paid as much or sometimes more maybe than their coach on occasion. Like, it's just he doesn't know how to be that guy at all.
Yeah, and like Doug Peterson, like you said, is just like cheese and chalk, isn't it? Like he's a grown up in the room. Like I can't imagine him holding little grudges, and he's just a pragmatist, isn't he? And it's just such a great. Can you imagine going from Meyer to Peterson? Like the change in that locker room and stuff. Like they must just feel so good. I do think they're going to lose to the Eagles, but it'll be interesting to see how they lose for
don't
me.
Don't you say that.
I think they'll lose.
Start,
the Eagles are flying.
Goodwill on.
It's a great test for them. I mean, if they do beat the Eagles, then they're really legit, aren't they?
The Jags. Yeah, it's still early in the season, but
Don't try and downplay.
Can't anoint people in week four either. But yeah, the Eagles have definitely impressed me. And I was going to start the whole thing off by talking about the Eagles, but I thought it'd be more fun to mention the Giants. But no, I forgot they had lost.
All right, come on, Jazz. You had to watch the game on the small screen last week with me, as well as having Red Zone on the big TV.
Yep.
And I kept on yelling things like, "Did you see that? Oh, look at this. Oh, my God." Like,
you did. The D-line looks ferocious again. Fletcher Cox was really getting everywhere, which is really good to see. Javon Hargrave was doing the same as well. Devonta Smith's catches and some of the footwork he was getting around the sideline.
How old is Fletcher Cox? Sorry to interrupt.
472.
My guess would be 34. Let's find out.
He's a beast of a man. He doesn't look slower, does he?
Well, it's Jason Peters. He's 40.
31. He's 31.
Is he? Oh, my God.
He's born in December 13th, 1990.
For like 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around forever, hasn't he?
Drafted in 2012.
And he's been consistently great in the league.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was that young. I was thinking 35, maybe.
I thought 34.
We've still got another 3 years at least in him of prime time.
He's going to be like flirting with Hall of Fame kind of guy.
That barrier could be a bit too low for Hall of Fame these days. Like,
we'll see. If you win a Super Bowl,
I mean, if he does, and he comes up, hasn't he? But if he comes up big in one as well, that was the trouble. I think you look at that Super Bowl, and the Eagles' D line didn't attack. Like, I mean, Brady was so well protected in that game. Nobody on those defenses should get anointed for their performance in that Super Bowl, because it was just the shootout of shootouts, wasn't it? But
got it when it counted.
Yeah. Hurts has only been sacked 7 times, which I'm fairly surprised it's that high, to be honest. I didn't realize it would be as high as that, which is, I assume some of that is because of his scrambling around the place as well. Yeah, he's moved
and,
well.
And he kept on throwing it away all the time. In that, I thought it was a week
Detroit
one
game.
He was doing that.
Detroit just throwing it away. Yeah,
and should have been flagged for intentional grounding.
Don't worry about it. Jazz
times.
Has still got to be in his bonnet on that one. He's going to come back.
Because it's nonsense. They should have been calling the flags.
Look, they're 14-3 going into the final weekend of the season. Yeah, well, it should be 13-whatever because of the fucking intentional grounding. Jazz will never let that one go in a classic
you're
Jazz
damn
way.
Right.
Oh, Dave, you're like this. We're watching the games last weekend, okay? And Jazz is feeling a little bit punchy for various reasons. And, you know, the Saints aren't having a great weekend, and we'll come on to the Saints a little bit later. And Jazz says to me, send Shane Vereen a text saying, Saints, really? So I send Shane a text saying, Jazz says, Saints, really? Question mark. And Shane's response was like, okay, where is it? Yeah, it's not good at the moment. I said, it's cool, don't worry. Just letting you know that Jazz is keeping receipts, though. I'd expect nothing less from Jazz, was Shane's response. You've only spoken, 4 or 5 podcasts with him, and he already knows exactly the kind of person that
the
you
grudges
are.
I hold.
Mm-hmm. That is who you are as well. Petty man.
Petty
man. Petty, pedantic.
I'm glad that, you know, those press-ups are looking less and less likely, because I don't want to do...
I'm not gonna lie, I really hope that Shane does come over to the UK and we manage to meet up with him and just be like in the middle of a restaurant. Time for 5, Shane.
No, I think you have to hold it to a live broadcast that he's on. I really want just hey Shane, by the way, 5 press ups during this drive, please. And he has to explain it.
On air.
Yeah, go back to the preseason podcast with Shane Vereen on that one if you want to know the details on that. Eagles look good. Who's the other 3-0 team? Because there's only one other left, isn't there?
I'm testing my brain.
Should know that.
The Miami Dolphins.
There you go. Of course it is.
That's weird.
It is weird.
Did you watch the game against?
Don't know what to say about that. I'm still waiting for Tua to kind of come down to earth a little bit. He's been
he wasn't great
in that Bills game.
He really did.
He did come down to earth when he had that concussion that he was allowed back into the game from. I mean, that's not good for the
full
NFL.
On stanky leg is what.
Yeah,
you had
they swerved that. They said it was his back, and it's like no, like we all saw him stumble like that. You don't do that from like a back. Injury.
Or if you do, you're probably paralyzed, so that's not the same.
Well, no, Jameis Winston's playing with 4 broken back segments or something like that at the moment, isn't he? So,
was he?
Yeah, he's got four breaks in his back when going into week three, I think it was. Or week two, he had four breaks in his back against the Bucks.
Is he, yeah?
Yeah, he's really, he's really screwed up at the moment.
Do you reckon it's because of the stupid training he does in the off-season where he has someone throw a punching bag towards him and he has to try and evade it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
at
okay.
this point, with Jameis Winston.
No, I just thought I'd just put that one out there.
Maybe he put his back out carrying too many boxes of crab's legs. Who knows? I mean, it's a difficult, difficult one for Jameis.
So the Falcons, got a win, Ollie?
Yeah. How's that feel?
Feels better than being 0-3.
Yeah.
You know, I defended them on a podcast last week. In the same way I defended Matt Ryan to Josh Potter for
you. Yeah, you are. You're the great savior that we need, hey, Falcons Nation.
It's not the one you need. It's not the one you deserve.
The great white savior.
Yeah, thank you. Dear. I'm the hero you get, not the one that you want or whatever it is.
Yeah. You know,
the hero you deserve.
The one we deserve. Yeah.
Basically.
No, it was good. It was a kind of scrappy win. But there's some really encouraging stuff from the Falcons, like, so far. I mean, you know, to lose that game against the Saints in that fashion to do a Falcons, you would have thought that'd be like, oh, okay, that could just crumble them like a few games afterwards. But
can we just caveat all of this that it was against the Seattle Seahawks? Like, it's not a good team that you beat.
But we ran the Rams really close.
Yeah.
We were up massively against the Saints. Like, they should have put that game to bed against the Seahawks earlier. Like, the Seahawks were really good in the first half. I don't know how much of it you guys watched, but they were genuinely really good. Like, Geno Smith had a great half. They're running the ball with Penny. They looked decent. And it went into the half 17 all. So, like, a high scoring half.
I was shocked it was that high scoring. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And then, because I kind of thought it would be like, I thought the Falcons would win, but I thought it might be more like 21, I don't know, like 16 or something. Mm-hmm. And then Mariota coughs up the ball again, which is what he did against the Saints that really screwed us over on that comeback loss. But the Falcons defense is a little bit frisky this year, which is so nice to see because... like, we've been able to do it on offense for the last few years, on and off. But on defense, it's just been garbage.
Last year was terrible.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible all over the shop. But the defense has been bad for years and years and years. And to see them getting takeaways, them getting consistent sacks and pressure, Dean Pease just seems to have organized up, like, not a really talented bunch, but made them passable. And, yeah. It's just
good scheming.
It's nice. And Drake London looks like legit.
He looks good.
He looks the real deal. Pitts was getting the ball this week and he only got like two receptions or something in the week before and then maybe one
against
the Saints. Yeah,
they targeted him twice in week three, I think it was, which was a real worry of, and I think he had two receptions against the Saints the week earlier, maybe one. And it was the worry of like, why are you not giving it to what is the best playmaker on the offense? Actually, I think the best playmaker on that offense is Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he got a career high
rushing total.
Rushing and receiving. He caught a couple of passes as well. He just, he's not slowing down, which is because I thought it was just a flash in the pan, like one hit wonder kind of thing last year. But he's just.
No, he's like a poor man's Debo Samuel. He can play receiver, he can play running back. You don't really know what he's going to do. He's physical enough to be able to beat people with his strength.
He's so physical. Like, he really hits guy. I think he's a big guy. He's like 6'4", 235 or something. He's big.
He looks taller than 6'4".
We know Dave loves doing these.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wait, are you saying 6'4", 235?
6'4", it might be, he won't be 240. That's really big. Yeah, 235 I'm going with, yeah.
Ollie, going to give us a guess?
No, this is Dave's wheelhouse. I don't play this game. I just live in it.
So for the record, if I had have guessed, which I was going to, but I thought I'd just look it up, I was going to say 6'2", 220. He is 6'2", and he's 227.
Oh, right. Nice, Jess.
Oh, that's interesting, because on Pro Football Reference, I've got 6'2", 220.
Interesting. Well, I'm looking on the Wikipedia page.
Oh, I don't trust that. I would trust Pro Football Reference a lot more. But I'm not going to trust your, oh, I was going to say 6'2", 220, and it's 6'2", 227 claim, because you didn't say it. So
that's, I don't give a shit what you think.
So. But he's a, yeah, he's big enough. Let's put it that way.
He's a big guy.
He is. I don't know. Running back as well.
Yeah, I mean, Mariota looks, he looks like a, you know, middle of the pack quarterback, which is kind of great, really, like considering what it could have, it looked like it might have been, where you had like a bottom five quarterback. Like, you know, he can throw on the move. He gets rid of the ball when he needs to. Like, if he can stop some of these fumbles, which have obviously nearly let us down, you know, in the Seahawks and then let us down against the Saints. Like, if he can protect the ball a bit better, he's had a really good start to the year. Yep. Like, I'm super happy with Mariota. And they seem to really like him. Like, I don't know. He's just got good chemistry. Like, now that he's targeting Pitts as well, it just, yeah, it looks good. It looks like a quite a balanced offense. And like our defense, the, obviously I spoke, you know, already we're getting some pressure up front, but like the secondary is actually like sneaky quite good. Like they could have had a couple more interceptions in that game. Yeah. Against the Seahawks, they had an interception to finish it. The strong safety, Hawkins got it. And like AJ Terrell looks like a pro bowler and hopefully will develop into like a real shutdown corner if he keeps going this way. Mm-hmm. And then Hayward, who did he play for the? Did Chargers. Hayward play for the? Was he the Green Bay as well? He's an older guy. He's like 32 or 33, but he's like given a lot of experience as well on the other side of the field.
Colts, Casey Hayward.
Yeah, he's an older guy, so he's probably bounced around. I'm sure he played for Green Bay as well. But
yeah, you're right. Green Bay, San Diego Raiders.
Yeah, and he was a Pro Bowler like a few years ago, like. He's not as quick now, but yeah, it's like, it's surprising that they are like watchable and quite fun.
They're fun.
Like,
I think that's a nice thing. That's the thing. They're actually an interesting team and fairly exciting team to watch.
Exactly. You could stick the Falcons on and you feel like, oh, this is,
as long as they weren't playing a really good team, I'd be like, yeah, I could watch this. It's a great Thursday night.
But they played the Rams.
Team.
They played the Rams, who are a really good team. I know that they're starting the season really slow, but that was a great game. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's not a great matchup against the Browns this week. So I don't know.
Browns aren't great.
I just, the running game, we've been okay against the run, but I don't know. It feels like against one of the best like Russian teams in the league, I feel like they could really
be tough.
Put us under.
Just keep Nick Chubb off the boil, you're all right, basically. That's literally the only way to stop the Browns.
Easier said than done, though, isn't it? But
100%. But yeah,
I don't know. That'll be a tight game. Like, I don't know what the spread on that is, but I can't imagine it's more than
1.5.
Oh, there we are. I mean, that shows some respect for the Falcons at this stage of the season. So.
But also, like you said, it's sometimes, even if you've got a team that you know isn't going to go all the way or may not win every game or might not win many games, having a team that just makes it fun.
I know. Honestly, it makes the world of difference when you've when you've got a bad, like, when you've had a bad team for a few years, it really makes a big difference because you know you're going to watch them week in, week out. And, like, I'd just love it if we were still talking about them in a wild card spot in the NFC in, you know, the end of November. And I'm sure that they're not going to win. They probably won't even win 8 games, the Falcons, but they look like a team that could just kind of hang around a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I hope so.
What's it like supporting a team that is dull and boring to watch and not very
interesting?
Jesus. Jazz?
Talking about fun. You want to suck Pittsburgh, sucking all the fun out of the fucking league.
Okay, one sec, Jazz. I got to ask this question. Somebody I know made a prediction at the very beginning of the season that this would be the first losing season for Mike Tomlin at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Still think at least.
Because he got a Mason Rudolph-led team to 8-8.
Yeah, I know.
And Mason Rudolph was worse than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, your division was worse then, though.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Bengals maybe weren't quite as good. Ravens still had Lamar. Browns
were better then, weren't they? Wasn't that the year that they did well?
I think they were the year before they got Odell and Jarvis Landry. So they still did pretty well on Baker. That's the But I think that was a time when Baker did something, if memory serves me right.
It's just like losing what?
losing one of the top five non-QB players in the league is always going to affect your team. I was surprised at how much it has, because I thought with Alex Highsmith stepping up and getting three sacks in week one, that was going to be a big difference.
Yeah.
Turns out that when you take away someone double or triple teaming TJ Watt, there's more attention slid over to Highsmith. We haven't got the same level of penetration. The trouble is the offense. I watched the game in 40 on Friday morning when I woke up, and it got to 30 minutes through. I thought, this is the dullest thing I've ever watched.
Yeah,
this isn't a game in 40 with no advert breaks, no gaps, just play after play after play. Oh. I ended up just thinking, you know what? I'll just look and see what the score was. And saw what the score was. So, there's only like five more points to be scored here. I'm just going to just...
Yeah, it was rough.
Skip 10 seconds.
It does feel really like if you were going to pick a team that you didn't want to introduce, like if somebody was just getting into NFL and you were like, what's these games or this team? You'd be like, the Steelers would be right at the bottom. Like, to get somebody into American football. Like, it's not even that they're bad. They are just boring at the moment. What do you think, Jazz? Do you want to put the kid in? Is it time yet? Or
the trouble we have with Trubisky is, like I was saying to you before we started, if you look at the way he had, I think he started 10 games in college and then started the games to the Bears. So he didn't have much college kind of top flight experience, shall we say. Pickett had 5 years at Pitt. So arguably he may have played similar number of games at an elite-ish level, not of course NFL level, but elite-ish level to learn the position. The trouble I have with putting Kenny Pickett in too soon is whether or not he ends up getting beaten up or he starts making poor throws and the crowd starts to turn on him because of being the hometown hero. It's that sort of fairy tale that you really want to work and really kind of play out.
Yeah,
I do think that some of it has to come down to the coordinator and the scheming, because like I said to Ollie the other day, I'm sure I said to you too, Dave, was that the trouble with the Steelers is they're playing like they've got a Brady and McDaniels offense with a Wes Welker, a Julian Edelman, and not even someone like a Gronk, but someone else like that who's small and shifty but can't stretch the field, as opposed to Chase Claypool, who runs a 4-4. George Pickens, I'm sure, runs a 4-4 or a high 4, a high 4-3. And Deonta Johnson that can just shake someone loose in a post box. So you've got three athletic freaks. You've got a very good tight end, young tight end, and Pat Freiermuth. The O-line isn't helping massively, and you've got a great running back. So the skill positions are definitely there.
Yeah.
It has to come down either to the play calling or fundamentally the decision-making from Trubisky, because sometimes Trubisky's decision-making has not been very good.
Hands weren't there from the receivers again, though, on Thursday.
There were a few drops to go with it. So drops were there. An issue.
Najee Harris isn't fit. You can see that he's not looking at full fitness still, because he's got that foot injury that's been lingering for the last 2-3 weeks now, and maybe over from last year, depending on what you want to believe, if it's a re-agitation of that. There's enough kind of problems with the Steelers that it's not just on coaching, I think. There's a problem with execution to some extent on the field. And people, it's really easy to look just at Trubisky. And I don't think Trubisky's a long-term solution. I think he's a great stopgap QB to have of, like, he probably won't lose you that many games. He's not going to be the guy that wins you many. The white Tyrod Taylor, to be honest, Mitch Trubisky.
So you're trying to say is we need our doctor to puncture this guy's lung. Is that what you're trying to say?
If you've got Justin Herbert waiting in the wings, which I don't think Pickett is.
We don't know that yet. Again, for the preseason, he was making far better.
Get out of it. You really believe in preseason. That is the dumbest. Yeah.
I just think that just going back to what you're saying about Mason Rudolph having a winning season.
Not losing season.
Yeah, sorry.
8-8.
Let's
clarify that. I'm never saying that Mason Rudolph had a winning season.
Was the difference the O-line? Because then you had a dominant O-line for like, it feels like 10 years really. And now
the defense wasn't as good.
Yeah. That's so you feel like it might bounce it up a bit.
To be honest, yeah. And going back to the drops, Pickens, of course, had that amazing catch. Which isn't as good
as Odell Beckham Jr.
I wasn't ever going to talk about that, but yeah, who cares about comparing catches? It's a good catch. It's impressive. Yeah,
it's a very good catch.
It's a great athletic play. The thing pissed me off, though, was this. Pickens had a chance to score a touchdown and catch the ball but he went at it with one hand and missed it. Now, if he hadn't thought about trying to get these highlight reel plays and went with two hands and went for a Larry Fitzgerald-style catch, putting himself out there, grabbing the ball with two hands, coming down with it, well, that's a touchdown at a point where we would really greatly needed one, and that might have been the swing in the game that changed it.
Yeah.
That's my issue with that. And it comes back to the fact that you have Claypool
last
year.
Wait, with the catch? Sorry, you're talking about the catch?
No, not the catch. The trouble with Pickens trying to go for the
catch.
Highlight.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. I thought you were saying that Pickens could have caught that two-handed, but instead stretched out for a one-handed
No.
Yeah, that's what I was
That's wonderful. That's great.
I was like,
good
game.
There was no other way he could have got that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one that he dropped, from my viewpoint, that I saw the replays, I didn't see all the replays, so, I mean, don't quote me on this, but I thought it looked like if he'd gone with the two hands at that, he probably catches it, and that changes the game.
That's now a drop and a quote. Yep. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I think
that's fine.
I'm just having a look at your schedule here, Jazz. You've got the Jets this week, and you better win
that.
Because after that, you've got the Bills,
four bad games.
Yeah. Bills, the Bucks, the Dolphins, and then the Eagles. Like, that is going to be the roughest schedule probably any team in that four-week period.
Which is the reason why you probably don't put Pickett in now either. If you're going to put Pickett in, you have to put him in against the Jets. If you don't put him against the Jets, you're not going to put him against the Bills, Dolphins, Bucks, and Eagles, because that's just throwing him to the Lions and seeing if he can...
I think they wait until the bye
week. Actually, no, you wait till the Lions can't turn up and then you throw him to the Lions. That'd be the best one to do, to be honest. Wait till someone like them turn up.
It gets softer, like your second half of the season, but that is a rough run of games.
That's a tough four games. I mean, if we could get to there,
you might lose all
2-6, I think we're happy, if I'm honest.
That's savage.
Yeah, but that's just because you're playing the teams you're playing.
The expectations of Steelers
be realistic.
Fans.
What's lower this season, the expectation on the Steelers or your own fantasy football expectations in our league? Because you seem to have given up on both.
Oh, I don't give a shit about the fantasy football league. I'm out of that. Completely.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I'm only three games in, come on.
Yeah, I'm only 2 points.
Get on the waiver wire, Jazz.
Yeah,
make some moves, baby.
Behind Ollie for the jersey as well. I'm sorry, I don't really mind wearing the jersey. I'll happily wear the Eli Manning jersey on Thanksgiving, whatever. It's comfy. Big.
You don't believe that, you son of a bitch.
It fits in perfectly now. That's
you don't
trouble.
Believe that.
It's true.
It's like a
snug one. I'd say
it's a little tight.
My expectations for my fantasy team are much lower. I still have a lot of hope for the Steelers. I think that it's one of those ones we get past, hopefully beat the Jets, and then try and get into these four games. If we can sneak a win out of one of those four, which is not out of the realm of possibility, which will really depend on when TJ Watt comes back. Because I could see if the pass rush was increased again, well, that's going to be a difference maker in that whole situation.
Do you get worried if analysts and experts start saying things like, well, it's a rebuilding year for the Steelers, because we know that rebuilding years end up going on for like 3 or 4 more years. Like, it's generally not a fast build. And although, look, you got a great defense, pieces are definitely there to be competitive. You know, the offense, what's Claypool in, fourth year this year?
Third, I reckon.
Third, so going into his fourth year next year, which will be a case of, right, you've got to sign him or not.
Second rounder too, because
So then it will be, okay, well, do you sign him or not?
It'll be a hard one to evaluate price-wise.
Deontay Johnson, Pro Bowl wide receiver, but little dropsy last year, a few more drops this year, made a great catch on the sideline, but, you know, Freiermuth, who's barely seen the ball, from what I've seen this year so far, which is a shame at tight end. Like, there's just a number, you know, you've got a good team there, but I wouldn't necessarily say that that's an offense that's ready to be part of a great offense.
What we have to remember is this. Kenny Pickett was a first-round draft pick. He's on his rookie contract and will be for the next 5 years, because they'll pick up his option at year 5, unless he shits the bed and is useless.
He might not be a guy, though. We don't even know yet. That's the thing.
Like, no, true, but this is the way of thinking about it. It's not a true full-on rebuild because the team has got pieces everywhere else. It's really just to try and see if Trubisky does get dropped or benched or somehow starts playing out of his skin. He's on a 2-year deal with the second year being picked up if they decide to pick it up. Not guaranteed, I believe. So they have already decided that Pickett, of course, is going to be their answer when they have time to do so, because he's already beaten out Mason Rudolph in the depth chart. That was clear and obvious from preseason. So it's a case of trying to get him ready enough to then perform, much like the Mahomes had with Alex Smith, maybe sitting behind Alex Smith all year. Maybe the Steelers have the best season because of the way the offense is running. Maybe they put Pickett in sooner. Maybe they don't. Maybe they think this is Pickett's redshirt year. He has to learn how to be an NFL QB. He's got to watch what happens when things maybe don't go so well. And Tomlin's like, well, it's the first year without Big Ben. We've had a few bad injuries, had a tough schedule. I'm due a losing season at some point. I can't have a non-losing season for my entire career if I want to be here for 25, 30 years.
Black Air Force Ones would beg to differ with that, I think.
No, but that's mind game.
You don't get those for a losing season team.
No, that's true. But I think that that's where it comes down to, is that you have a rookie contract QB, and that means you can then, once Trubisky, if he does get jettisoned, that'll free up another $10 million in cap space for us, which we could then put towards more of the O-line.
The offensive line, yeah.
And then you look at Claypool. I don't know how he will... How it's a very difficult one to evaluate. And the trouble you have...
I don't see enough from him at the moment as well.
I completely agree. But again, then again, it comes back to, is he getting the ball thrown to him enough? Is he open but not getting the ball thrown to him? So that's what also... Like, Davante Adams is definitely more open than he's getting thrown to. So is it down to decision-making from the QB? That's where it all comes into it. If you watched... Again, I'm going to mention the preseason, but Kenny Pickett did come in against the Jaguars' first team defense and did thread some serious needles and showed unbelievable anticipation. That's the one thing Trubisky hasn't seemed to grasp yet. And some of the decisions he makes are absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure I saw one in the Browns game in 40 where he threw the ball into effectively double coverage where his receiver had no chance. So why are you throwing it there? If that can't be happen and there's nothing else, either try and scramble or just throw it away. Don't put the ball in that sort of situation, because not only does it make you look like you don't know what you're doing, but it also makes your receivers more scared about, well, where are they going to have the ball thrown to me? And it's also with the Pickens catch, reminds us of the old Eli Manning, Odell Beckham catch, where if it was Drew Brees throwing the ball, like we said a million times, that catch never happens because that lands on Beckham's numbers right in his chest and a ball that's very catchable rather than one that he has to really stretch across the ether into Mars to get hold of. So that comes back to that thing with Pickens as well, that it's a wonderful catch, yes, but a better QB shiver the ball
doesn't
land in better.
That. Yeah.
Much like we had with Hurts to Devonta Smith so many times the weekend, the ball was just perfectly, as if the hands were here, the ball was just landing straight in the hands.
Yeah, making it look easy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's where it comes back to the QB.
I did not expect to hear that this season on this podcast, let alone from Jazz.
Go on! Let's go.
I mean, credit where credit's due. I was also expected to say all year, well, the Eagle receiver's doing really well. Maybe if they get a better QB to throw to them, it'd be fine. But Jalen Hurts is playing out of skin. So, yeah.
So we've kind of got like three tiers here, really, of like kind of interesting. I think the Steelers are really struggling. The Falcons look frisky and the Eagles look dominant.
Don't.
It's an interesting,
don't like that last one.
It's an interesting thing. Okay. Ollie, be a professional. Break us down. You're going to be covering the Saints-Vikings game for NFL London. Break it down for us. What's happening? What can we expect? Can we get excited about it? Because me and Jazz were talking about it. I want to get excited about it because I'm going to go and watch it in Cardiff. Is it an exciting game?
It's a really... I think it could be a really good game. I think it's going to be the kind of game that Jazz likes. I don't think we're going to get high scoring.
Yeah.
Really intriguing, the whole Michael Thomas question cropped up obviously quite a bit, and not really a resounding soundbite from anybody about whether he's going to play or not. Evaluating, Jameis Winston kind of gave this thing of, let's get Michael Thomas back to fitness, and it's like, that doesn't tell us whether he's at fit enough, ready to go yet, which is interesting. I think the Saints are going to win it purely because they're here early. I cannot understand why NFL teams turn up on a Friday before these London games. It is genuinely insane. And talking to people that know this sort of thing with, the impact of sleep deprivation on the body today, it affects your decision making, your ability to be alert, to concentrate, to be awake enough to be able to execute complex plays, playbooks in an accurate way. And it's what, an hour every day,
roughly,
difference, so 5 days get a 5 hour difference, and I think the same. Even Winston and some of the others that had done it previously this trip were like, this is already nicer, being they left on Sunday, landed Monday, the press conferences, thanks to George from George on Sports, the Colts fan that we spoke to, he said he went down to them on Monday and said, like, you know, they were all just grouchy, or like half of them were, because it's just not somewhere where they want to be at the moment. Mark Ingram was on great form apparently on Monday, and he's just a lovable Ewok at the end of the day, isn't he? he's like the reverse Zeke, in that he's actually an Ewok that you can like get on with and everything. But Dennis Allen
was like of his career as well. That guy, he's loving it.
Allen was post loss to a crap Panthers side pissed on Monday, just didn't want to talk about negative stuff at all. Just wanted it out of the way. Today, a little bit more relaxed. Hey, we're getting there. We're getting our bodies adjusted. It's taken us Wednesday today. So that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday already to start to feel a little bit adjusted. People still struggling with sleep deprivation. So we'll play this now. I asked Jameis Winston, because I don't care about sleep deprivation and stuff like that. I wanted to get into Winston as a player. I said, you know, you've been in London before. What's the difference between the Jameis Winston that threw, I think, 5 picks against the Carolina Panthers when he was here with the Bucks in his 30 for 30 season? Mm-hmm. I said, what's the difference between the Jameis Winston that we saw last time to the Jameis Winston that we're potentially going to get if he's fit and healthy with his bad back? He didn't practice today on Sunday. And this was his answer.
Well, I just think age and experience. One, with this trip, being over here before, I know some certain things that I cannot do that I did last trip. And one thing is staying up, you know, trying to find a ways to go to sleep. Like when it gets dark, trying to find a ways to close my eyes, even if it's like I'm up, but my eyes are closed, right? I did that last night, you know, just close my eyes. I think the preparation of this week is different because we got here earlier. Throughout the week, doing different forms of meditation just to get acclimated to, you know, the time change, hopping in a hyperbaric chamber. I think the biggest thing for this trip is just the things I learned from last trip.
So absolutely ignored the question that I asked.
Can I just say him saying hopping in a hyperbolic chamber sounded great.
Hyperbolic would be the vitriol that he gets. Some people would say it's hyperbolic.
Hyperbole.
Or hyperbolic chamber is also from Dragon Ball Z.
Sorry. It just sounded good when he said it.
So my counter to what you're saying
there. But he's talking about
there
how much more beneficial it has been already of landing, getting adjusted, which I...
Oh, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
See, the argument against that, though, is that when these teams come in on a Friday, practice on a Saturday, and then play on a Sunday... If you do, obviously you've got the travel on the plane, which obviously dehydrates you and makes you a bit more stiff. But if you base it on the fact that you're trying to say that jet lag and sleep deprivation are an issue, which I totally agree with you, they are. But if you come in on the Friday, do the Saturday, the Sunday, and you keep to US time.
Yeah, that's,
so you let the players
that's
stay
the
up.
Exact one that we've had is you stay. The only thing is, and it's whether the kind of the lack of sunlight, lack of being on the right circadian rhythm has enough time to start to affect you if you've only got a Saturday and a Sunday and you're back out again.
Yeah. That's the thing.
But
that's
I think it's naturally going to affect you.
So listen to the Around the NFL did their first podcast in London from coming over.
Did it cost £70 to listen to it?
It's still free. You just got to wade through a million ads, unfortunately. But
Is that what they're doing now? Tons of ads everywhere.
So many ads, dude. Yeah. It's driving me nuts. Oh my god.
In fairness,
if I listen to another advertisement, they're all advertising other NFL podcasts.
Oh,
it's so annoying. Rachel Bonetta has a podcast, and I really like her. She's good.
She's
but
really
her
funny.
Adverts, her found, adverts are so cringy. And
I found some stuff about
she's doing
about those guys this week, which I'm like. Today, in fact, that I very much rate and respect. And if they're doing adverts and everything like that, if there's loads of adverts on their podcast, they just now know their value. And
well, they got paid finally,
But in general, I have no problem. I don't know what they got paid, but they But the point was like Rosenthal, according to like JRVP, sounded like he was maybe thinking about like, well, I don't need this, and we were trying to work out.
Walk,
They at least have 100,000 listeners a week. If they turn that into 100,000 listeners a week 100,000 independent views even a month. Everybody pays $5 a month. If they went out on their own, they don't necessarily need the NFL aside from the ease of access to get to things maybe that they want to get to. And that's the benefit for them. But they could easily be making $500,000 off that podcast alone, split between the three of them every single month, without a doubt, if they went to a Patreon. So the NFL has at least worked out, because they would carry their whole audience away from it. It's not that the NFL made them. They made
the podcast.
Well, the worst stuff that they do is when they interview players and coaches.
Yeah, because it's not as interesting. Yeah,
it just doesn't fit their format and stuff. They don't get anything out of them. Like, it's just like basic sound bites. But just going back to the point about jet lag, their first podcast when they landed in London, they all sounded rough. Hanzus was stumbling over his words. You had Justin Graver in the producer, and he basically was just like, they called on him to talk about the Titans, I think, at one point, and he just goes like, what? He's like barely there, you know? So I know those are like 40-year-old not athletes.
Whoa. Like, no, but imagine they're just having to have a conversation. Imagine having to recall real pinpoint information about schemes and playbooks in split seconds, and then execute and read what another defense is throwing in front of you. I cannot, all signs point to it's better to do that. And I think we all know from being in the US at various points in our lives, it's easier to go to the US, force yourself to stay awake for a few hours once you land until like 11, 10 o'clock at night, and then go to sleep and wake up early, but you can still force yourself back to sleep after 4 hours if you wake up at 4 a.m., get another couple of hours in, 6 hours sleep, you can kind of function for a full day. Coming the other way, coming back to the UK, it's a different ball game with that whole like trying just to stay awake east. Or do you sleep on the plane?
Welcome to the sleep podcast.
I mean, but it's true. It's bonkers.
Oh no, totally. I completely agree. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I was just having a look at the matchup. Like, you know, if we just assume that they're going to be the teams that have played three games of NFL so far this season, and we're going to see similar product to what they put out already. I don't know about this Saints like team. I mean, they had that comeback against the Falcons, but, you know, the Falcons, even though they're interesting, are still the Falcons. But, like, to lose against the Panthers, like, I do not rate this Panthers team. And they just haven't, like, they just haven't put up points in... The only points they're really scoring is in the fourth quarter. Like, they had that epic comeback against the Falcons where nearly all of the points came in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And then they scored... The two touchdowns that they scored against the Panthers, which is the only points that they got, were both in the last quarter. And then the only touchdown they got in the Bucs game was in the fourth quarter. So, like, they're only showing up right at the end of games, kind of when they've already lost them. And, like, I don't know, against the Vikings, I mean, it depends what Vikings team shows up, but they look okay this year. Like, I think they're the favourites against the Saints.
I think the Vikings' best attribute on defence is probably the penetration that they get up front.
Yeah.
I think the secondary can be got at.
I don't even know their secondary.
Maybe
to be
not
honest.
By a Winston.
Harrison Smith is still there, yeah.
Possibly. The main thing for the Saints is whether Olave is going to be their number one receiver, or whether it's going to be Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry both carrying Knox coming into this.
Thomas seems
like a real doubt, judging by today. We'll find out more tomorrow, I think. I'll put some audio hopefully together from tomorrow's press conferences and stuff.
Kamara is limited as well.
Olave had a really good weekend last weekend against the Panthers in his breakout weekend. This is just something that one of the reporters asked him about, kind of season so far, I think it was.
Just trying to get comfortable. I'm still getting comfortable with the offense too. It's only week four, but I just feel like I'm playing football. I just having fun out there. I'm having a lot of fun, and my teammates pushing me on, and I feel like they're making me better at the end of the day. And I feel like just playing fast, that's what I do, and I feel like that's how I got to a fast start.
You feel like there's still like a lot of room for improvement, would you say?
Yeah, I definitely got a lot of room. I feel like I haven't played my best game yet. I feel like to clean up a lot of things. I feel like I want to, when I get targeted, I want to bring in every pass that's thrown my way, and I feel like I haven't done that so far, but I'm getting better every week, and that's all that matters.
Most rookie answer of just like, everything's good. I'm getting better. I got to improve, but I'm getting better. I felt good.
He's getting better though.
He had a really good week last week. It's just a shame that
he got over 100 yards. So
nine catches last week.
Yeah. But I mean, he's going to be carrying it. Like I just touched on that. If Kamara's limited in practice, he's got a rib injury, and they're missing Landry and Thomas. I mean, what's going to happen? Like, the Vikings are surely going to have enough firepower
I think that Saints defense has still probably got enough to shut down a Vikings team.
Are you sleeping on Traquan Smith and Marcus Callaway, Dave?
I'm saying that their guys and their bodies.
Dalvin Cook is still day to day with the Vikings. When they get in on Friday, and they will be in on Friday, that's their problem this week, is that they're not going to have been here all week. It's going to be a last minute thing. So the sleep deprivation.
Madison's okay. Madison's all right.
Madison's fine, but he's not Dalvin Cook. And that's I don't know.
They've got the better receiving core. They've got the better quarterback. Madison against Ingram at this stage of Ingram's career, they've got the better running back, I'd say. Like, the Saints have got the better defense, sure. But as Saints, you said, like with Hunter and stuff.
The Saints have got Taysom Hill, the X Factor, the unknown. Where does he play? What is his contract and what position?
Who is he?
It does feel like with the Saints D and the Vikings offense, you just put Lattimore and Justin Jefferson and that's it. That's game over. And I don't see how the Vikings move the ball enough once he's to take out the game.
Oh, no. Thielen's a great receiver.
They've also got decent cornerbacks on the other side, and they can double team whoever they want to double team, because they can just have
Jalen Reagor could have a big game. Sorry.
Oh, is he not on the practice squad? Is that guy still around?
He's not been made to tight end yet.
So, one thing to watch, the Saints are only one of three teams with the Giants and the Cardinals who don't have an interception yet. So surely they're going to break that streak against the Vikings.
Kirk Cousins doesn't give the ball away that much, though. For all the faults that you say, and again, it could come down to just which quarterback can just be safer. At this point, with, you know, if Kamara is potentially going to miss time or have to miss time during the game at least, and if Dalvin Cook isn't 100% good to go, or if he misses the whole game, it's going to come down to mistake-free QB play. And you can't say that Kirk Cousins
Ollie, you know who made a lot of mistakes against the Eagles? Kirk Cousins, three interceptions.
In fairness, Kirk Cousins was getting boxed by that D-line, though. The Saints could have that D-line. Like,
so it's tricky. I think you're right. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I hope it still manages to be an interesting game, and I'm going to be drinking for it in Cardiff with two Vikings fans. So I hope it's fun enough. And I hope the Vikings win as well, because the Saints are awful.
Well, we need to get the Shane doing the press ups, so because apparently he needs them more than us, I guess. So.
he's out of shape now.
We'll have some more audio dropping on here as the next 2 days go on, and we'll try and get you some from the Vikings as well. But yeah, it's a shame Jazz can't make it to the Vikings. I was trying to get Jazz in, but now he's going back up north. So
sorry. Yeah. Well, hopefully, if you're either the Giants, Giants or Packers the week after, then hopefully I'll be able to tag along there, ride the coattails on that one.
We'll see.
Which basically means no. So thanks very much. I want to spend time with you too, asshole.
I might not. I mean, I'm not going to go to the Packers. I don't think, because I think the Packers is going to be a nightmarish scrum. I just don't care enough about what Aaron Rodgers has to say, because I can just listen to it on Pat McAfee or Rogan. So it's fine. Loads of the questions might. The trouble is like there could be a load of douchey questions. I mean, there were still a couple of people doing the, what do you like so much about the atmosphere at the London Games and stuff like that.
We've gone past that now.
No one asked about a franchise, thankfully. But yeah, and so the Packers could end up being, you know, first time in the UK, blah blah blah. Future of the game, blah blah blah. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Rogan, Pat McAfee, blah blah blah, blah 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 blah. Yeah, I'm not about that. I really want to go to the Giants with Phoebe and talk to Brian Daboll because of and watch those two interact. That would be more fun to me. Yeah. In the same way, today it was more fun That's watching cool. Jameis Winston react, because it was really, he is like a bit like Carson Wentz to me. He's like saying and doing hand gestures of what a QB should do and say. It's really good. There's I'll put some video up on it, but there's That's a lot so of true. Hands here with linking to make people listen to what I'm saying, but I can
fill in
the gaps with my hands.
Like he's a robot, like being taught how to
like that answer that I played earlier. It's like, that's not why I asked. I was asking about you. You're talking about learning about sleep deprivation. Like, no, I want to know about you, the player. So if he's up tomorrow, I'm going to ask the same question, say you as an individual player. I'm just going to be real specific at that point and be like, what?
Yeah. Just try and nail him down.
Yeah. Any other games this week that you want to get into, by the way? Because Miami-Cincinnati.
Spicy.
I think that's a fun Thursday night football on Thursday.
Really, really fun, yeah.
Baltimore against Buffalo is a great game.
I was surprised, Ollie, that the Dolphins are +4 on the spread there against the Bengals.
I know.
Very surprised. I've taken it in my bet.
Because Tua, of course, is potentially injured, and they've got the storm coming, so they're having to leave early. So their practice has been a bit shaken up.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay might be playing away from Tampa this weekend because of that as well, which is another element to put into the Kansas City.
Did you see the pictures of Tampa Bay's bay today, by the way?
No.
All the water is just drained out. It looks like a rocky.
Really? Have you heard from Holtzman?
Yeah, it's not good.
I'll give Witt a shout.
Yeah, you should give her a message.
She's right.
Speaking of that, I've just seen a picture of sharks swimming through the streets of Fort Myers.
Jesus.
That's good, isn't it?
Good luck to people in Florida. Jeez.
Yeah, we hope they manage okay, you know.
But there are some.
Oh boy. Just seen a picture video of the storm going through Fort Myers. I'm gonna see if I can show you this on the screen. See if it works.
No, it won't work. It's just
It's not
No.
Yeah, it's not.
It's an audio.
Just give it a rest.
Yeah, God, Jazz, Dr. Weather. Can you get rid of it?
Yeah,
already. I hate that. I hate you. I hate this. I hate this segment.
Look, we've done over an hour. Really? Let's do some bets.
You brought this up.
Let's talk about some bets, Jazz. Jesus Christ.
Do some bets. Anybody do okay last week?
No.
Nope.
I think I was like 4-2.
I don't even remember what I was.
I was 3-3. I'd have been 2-4. I'd have to go back and look at it.
Basically, I didn't make any money.
But I was off because the Steelers lost. So going into the weekend, I was already dead.
Yeah, you were dead and buried. But then the Panthers.
Has that stopped me about betting on the Thursday night game this week? Has it? Fuck.
Nope.
So I've got the Dolphins to beat the Bengals, because I think that's, even as an underdog team, I like that a lot. I've got the Lions to beat the Seahawks, the Titans to beat the Colts, the Bills to beat the Ravens, the Browns -1.5 against the Falcons, and the Jets +3.5 against the Steelers. And that got me 58-1.
Ooh,
nice. Yeah. I too am taking the Thursday night football game.
Oh God, we all are. This is a problem.
Oh no.
And I too am taking Miami to beat the Bengals. No.
It's all over, guys.
Are you taking you take the Dolphins as well, Dave?
I've got the spread. I've got +4, but
it's probably a smarter one. But
Bengals
will
probably just run away with it. And then,
Well,
why did we do that? We should have thought about this.
We should have pre-rec. We should have had a meeting.
I didn't want that £10 anyway.
Yeah, it's fine.
Whatever. Great. So the bets are off. Go on, rattle off your other ones then. Might as well.
Not only have I bet on the early Thursday game, I'm betting on the early London game, and I'm taking the Saints over the Vikings. Not only am I doing those two things of betting on early games before we even get into the windows, I'm taking the Falcons this week as well against the Browns, which is a stupid thing to do. Not only am I betting on the Falcons, but I'm also going to bet on the Lions this week to beat the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I'm taking not only the Lions and the Falcons and two early kickoffs, I'm also betting on the Chicago Bears this week. I'm betting on the Bears to beat the Giants, because I locked up the Bears last week on a podcast and they came through. So I'm taking the Bears again. And I'm taking the Eagles over the Jags, and that's giving
me
this
guy.
So you've got two favorites in there. The Lions are favorites.
The Lions and the Eagles, yeah. And
how much are you getting for that?
I'm getting 64-1.
Oh, I feel like you should have better odds.
I thought it was gonna be like in the hundreds.
I was getting real excited.
All of those
about
are like fine margin
pens.
Ahead, but yeah.
All right. Okay, so I've got, in classic Dave form, this is the lowest odds of the three of us. I've got the Dolphins +4 on the Thursday game. I've got the Vikings -3 against the Saints because what the Saints. I got over 51.5 in the Bills Ravens game.
Oh,
I've got
that.
The Lions to win. I've got the Raiders to win. And I've got the Cardinals to win against the Panthers because they're pretenders.
Well, you've taken the Raiders.
Well, backs against the wall. Like, they're at home. They've lost three games. They're not a team that's going to go 0-4, Ollie. Surely not again. And this Broncos team is looking bleh. So
yeah, that Niners-Broncos game was terrible.
Yeah.
You thought Thursday night was bad against the Browns. Niners-Broncos was Jimmy G dropping out of the freaking back of the end zone.
Jesus, talk about an unwatchable team.
Did
the
you
49ers
see
Niners would be up there as well with
did you see the Mark Sanchez and who's the Detroit QB that did it against the Vikings? Basically, Mark Sanchez tweeted something about like thank God for the butt fumble 2.0 or something like that after the Miami punt block that was off the ass of the up man. This Lions QB was like hallelujah on Twitter after Jimmy G ran out the back of his own end zone for a safety because this Lions QB did it against the Vikings a few years ago and was like
was
lambasted.
David Bluff?
No. It was
Blau. Yeah, Blau.
Keep talking and I'll have a look.
Yeah, it's the Dolphins are lucky that they won that game against the Bills because that butt punt would have been infamous. Yeah. Rather than just like 1 week of memes and then it will go.
Dan Orlovsky was the one that ran.
Oh, it was Orlovsky that did it.
Yeah. Against the Vikings in Minnesota. Yeah. Sorry, Dave. Yeah.
That was but yeah, none of it matters anyway because the.
What were your odds?
Oh, sorry. 36-1.
Okay.
Yeah. I've
taken
that's
a big
change. I haven't got the largest odds. This is weird.
That Denver Raiders game is, yeah, that's interesting, I think. Because if Denver are only one win in four to start the season, that's horrendous for this whole let Russell.
But the Raiders still look the better team out of the two of those, I think, going into week four.
The Raiders have had chances to win, they just haven't managed to get over the line.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah, I'm really over that whole Kyler Murray thing. The play at the end. Well, how everybody was lauding that play at the end.
And I didn't understand how that fit together. I thought
like 100 yards.
Yeah, but it's a two-man rush. That like this whole he had 21 seconds on the play against a two-man rush.
Yeah,
the Raiders only brought two. If Kyler Murray, if any QB can't evade a two-man rush, that's a travesty. The only thing is that he ran around.
Ryan would have made a two-man rush.
Yeah, well,
he still beat another like three guys in his mazy run. So.
No, he ran around in a circle for a bit, then he ran to the right, and then he just ran right to left diagonally to the end zone. And that bit was fast and quick and made a convincing football move. But I'm sure he'd seen it.
It was quite impressive.
I'm sure he'd seen it on Call of Duty first.
He was running around evading a sniper. Just
yeah.
Yeah.
He was zigzagging.
Yeah.
He's not Rickon Stark. It's a nice little reference for you.
Yeah, what fucking zigzag, Rickon, you asshole.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
This guy's got a bow and arrow. Don't run straight, idiot.